In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good and master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to be looking today and preparing the readings for the vigil of John the Baptist. I did some studying on what are vigils, besides the ones we know about, the Paschal vigil and things like that. And there are... Well, there's actually four different occasions. We have this one on John the Baptist. We have one for Peter and Paul, one for Assumption. And then a remarkable thing on All Souls. We have 13 examples to draw from for the second reading and 14 for the Gospel. I suppose when I get there, I'll just probably treat every one so. You'll have a lifetime supply of commented Gospels. What the logic is behind those and not the others, I haven't been able to discover. But that's where we are. So we're going to do today the vigil. The vigil means literally the Mass that is celebrated on the evening before the feast. And we'll do that, and then next week, we'll actually look at the Mass readings for the feast, the actual day of the feast. So we'll start now by considering, first of all, John the Baptist is the last and greatest of the prophets. He sums up all of that tradition in an analogous but superior way. Mary sums up the whole of the tradition of Israel, waiting for the Messiah to come and be present in their midst. That's why in the Eastern Rite there are two icons in front of the holy doors. One is John the Baptist and the other is Mary, the Mother of God. And so, but what is a prophet? You see, well, there's all sorts of different ways that this has been looked upon in the tradition. The basic thing, by the way, I brought this so you could see, sometimes if you want to do some study, maybe most of you know this book, The Dictionary of Biblical Theology, was edited by Xavier Léon Dufour. It's in English, and two publishers put it out, the Daughters of St. Paul and the Word Among Us Press, both put out this translation. And it's quite adequate and good. Now, why do people want prophets? Sometimes they don't want them, because the prophet has a message from God about how the people have not been faithful, and the infidelity, the sin, sets forth and sets loose a powerful force, and only repentance can turn it back. There's an interesting... I wish I'd have thought of it before now. Interesting text in Amos, if I can find it quickly. For the three sins of X and for a fourth, I will not turn it back. I don't know if I can find it quickly enough to... I suppose I could use the table of contents. I should, because... Here it is. I think it's in the earliest chapter. Yes. For three crimes of Damascus, and for the fourth, I will not turn it back. It's translated here, I will not revoke my word, which is acceptable, but it's more than the text actually says, which happens sometimes when you're trying to translate. The it, you see, is the effects. When we sin, we set evil loose in this world, and it will be down back to us unless the Lord stops it. And the means by which that is stopped is the grace of repentance, by which we turn back to God away from sin, turn from sin to God. Amos has for judgment on the nations, you see. So that first there's Aram, then Philistia, then Tyre, Edom, Ammon, Moab, Judah, and Israel have this burden. The Lord will roar from Sion, and from Jerusalem raise his voice. The pastures of the shepherds will languish, and the summit of Carmel will wither. Now about Aram. For three crimes of Damascus, and for four, I will not revoke my word. And that rhythm goes, you see, every time. For three crimes of Moab, and for four. For three crimes of Edom, and for four, and so forth. In other words, our evil sets loose evil in this world, you see. And that's why the text does not say, revoke my word, is not a bad translation. But it says literally, I will not turn it back. I can find it quickly. I know what it says, but I just want to make sure, actually read some of it for you, if I can find it. Ezekiel. Oh, I'm turning the wrong way, I think. Where's Habakkuk? Zechariah? And anyway, I can't find it right now, and I don't want to take more time. But for the three crimes of Ammon, for the three crimes of Judah, and so forth, I will not turn it back. It's coming. The effects of your evil are coming. Now, how are they so sure? Because God has enlightened them. And it's classic that most of the people called by God don't want the job at all. Jeremiah, certainly a classic example of that. I have him open here. When the call comes to Jeremiah, you see, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and he doesn't want the job. And he says, oh Lord, look, I'm just a boy. You know, I can't get out there in the public sphere. And he said, don't you say, I'm just a boy. You go out where I send you. And he does, and he pays the price. The tradition has he was martyred. But even before he was martyred, he was persecuted, put in jail. People don't like to hear this sort of thing, you know. Augustine says somewhere, men love the truth when it enlightens them, but they hate it when it accuses them. Well, Amos was certainly one of the accusers. And finally, you know, he says, I quit. And the Lord says, don't try that. Don't try that. And so he's a southerner and he has to go up to the north. My point in discussing all this is God talks to us through other human beings whom he raises up and enlightens and sends. And the message, while it's a message of love and tenderness, the love and tenderness cannot overlook the sin. So part of the loving tenderness is to point out the sin and to warn about that. And these prophetic messages, which are canonical, are still valid. There's idolatry in Israel. There's idolatry in the Catholic Church. How many people worship money or clothes or vacations or dabble in all sorts of other things, hoping to get an inside track on the world above or something? You know, how many people have all these tricky ways they try to figure out the stock market? See, that's magic. There's a very interesting book about that, about the new religion. The more people have turned in the European culture to atheism, the more they look for forces and spirits out there to guide them. And of course, they're going to find them. Satan and all the other evil spirits. And so many of our intellectuals, quote-unquote, are being led by demons. Not every one of our intellectuals. I mean, our intellect in the human race, not just, you know. And there's some evidence of that, especially in certain lives like Jung. In other words, we know we're not adequate. We know we're frightened. We know we need more power, more knowledge. And rather than get it from our Lord Jesus Christ, we go elsewhere. And that's the reason why there's so many new agey things going on and everything else. We need that. But you see, the prophet, there's a lovely line in the first book of Samuel, where, you know, they told, go seek the seer, far away. And the text giving an explanation says, in olden times, we called this person a Navi. He's a called one. And now we call him the seer. I'm looking for it now. It's when Saul sets out to find the lost donkeys. And he finds Samuel. And he goes to find him. And the explanation of the text is, what we're calling now one thing used to be called another. But the word Navi means like called. And Roe means seer. Ha Roe. The one who can see. It's a very difficult vocation because it conflicts with our desire for comfort and power. All right, we'll take that up later.